Welcome to this podcast for St. Peter's Church Greenhill, as we seek to become loving, witnessing and growing people.
I was in the park with our dog this week and saw a small flock of starlings on the grass. I have to say, much smaller flock than I'm used to when I was growing up. But it was good to see them all the same. There are about half a dozen of them, including two of what looked like younger birds. Their plumage was paler. And it set me thinking about how birds learn to fly. Did their parents sort of nudge them out of the nest onto a branch and then just give them another nudge? And they had to sort of jump out into the unknown. They'd known they had these things either side, but what were they for? Mum and Dad, they swim at swoop around with them, but could we do the same? Oh dear, it feels really scary. And I was wondering what was actually said by the disciples in our gospel reading when Jesus said, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." Mark, the writer of our gospel for this year, is a master at pared down editing. So concise. I love Mark's gospel. But what might have happened? What might have Mark missed out? Let me suggest a possibility. When Jesus invited them to go into the boat, the fishermen among them might have looked quizzically at each other because the weather didn't look too good. Peter would have been the one who spoke up. "Are you sure, Master? Looks like there's a storm on the way to me." But they still went, for they trusted Jesus. You've probably heard that storms on Lake Galilee are notorious for being sharp. A great gale arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped, but Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. Wonder how often you found yourself in this sort of position. Maybe not in a boat in a storm, but doing what you honestly felt God was calling you to do, and suddenly finding yourself in a real mess and even in danger. I've certainly been there and done that. In the Bible, the sea is often a symbol of chaos and disorder. It illustrates those times when our lives feel like they are falling apart. When we thought we had worked everything out, but suddenly it's out of control again. Just stay there, in the boat, with the disciples for a moment. Feel what they feel. And let that feeling recall times for you when things have felt out of control, even when you were doing your bit. And ask yourself, if you can, where is God in this? Where is Jesus? In the passage, he was asleep on a cushion. We're in a mess. God seems far away, distant, unresponsive, disinterested even. Might even feel like God's having a sulk when we're trying our hardest to get it right. If that pulls up memories for you, please have a word with someone afterwards. Just say, "Oh, what Murray was saying, oh yeah." Because I don't want you to go away with them. Talk to me or whatever, but you don't know me, so you might want to talk to someone else. And if someone does tell you, listen, just listen. I think the listening is more important than anything else. This is deep and powerful stuff. The disciples had to make a choice. Should they battle on their own, or should they wake up Jesus? I think prayer is so often about coming to an end of our resources and reaching out to trust more in God. Logic will often get in the way. I mean, what does Jesus know about storms on the lake? He's a carpenter, not a fisherman. Leave him, he looks exhausted. We'll manage. So often we think we can manage. I wonder how long they struggled before waking Jesus. I wonder how long we struggle before we wake Jesus. Not that waking Jesus is easy. God can seem very distant, particularly in a crisis. And part of that, I think, is the frantic working of our minds, which has a way of blocking out the subtler nudges from God that we might be used to responding to. And I think partly God is taking us to an end of ourselves. Out of the nest, onto the branch, and giving us a nudge. Until we come to that point of taking another step of faith, learning to spread our wings of faith. And waking Jesus, I now would say, is not about noisy prayer. It's more about returning to stillness, even in the midst of panic. Finding a regular practice of being still with God, of learning to discern his more subtle prompting. Learning the way God speaks in the circumstances and experience of our lives, and most of all in passages of the Bible and other spiritual writings. And they woke Jesus up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care? We are perishing." He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Jesus was taking them on in their faith. They had witnessed him preaching and healing and setting people free from invisible powers. But they had not before seen his authority over the natural world. They were also stepping out in faith they might not have before, recognizing that Jesus was what they needed. Finding that they could be honest and tell Jesus what they felt. "Wake up, don't you care? God doesn't mind that. God prefers our honesty. He delights in our honesty." The whole process was an opportunity for growth in faith. Whether Jesus engineered it or not, I don't know. Maybe it just happened. But don't be surprised when you find yourself in that situation, when the waves beat into your boat so that it is already swamped and God seems fast asleep. Maybe it's becoming familiar territory for you. It may be all too familiar from your experiences through COVID. It can be terrifying. But God is still somewhere there to be found, urging us to take that leap of faith, finding our spiritual wings. For this is what we are born to. May we learn to accept times of panic and fear, and find how we are to grow in confidence, trust, and understanding of God in them.